Welcome to Deep Dive.
This is going to be a good one.
We're diving deep today, get this, into the preface of Unraveling the Fabric of Fear. Pretty wild. Understanding energy.
Like the kind physicists
study. Hey, exactly. Mm-hmm. How that can help us understand human behavior. And just this intro part, it's already got me thinking. So the whole book, it's about human psychology and behavior, but through this lens of energy. The introduction really set us up to think about fear as something that is learned.
Absolutely. Not innate.
And this preface, well, it kind of takes that idea and goes like full-blown theoretical physicist on us. Has anyone ever stopped to think about their emotions as like actual energy, you know, like a real force? So to start things off, it talks about the law of conservation of energy from physics class, right?
Exactly. Energy can't be created or destroyed, only changed from one form to another. So when we talk about emotional energy, it's not just some woo-woo idea.
Right, it's got to go somewhere.
Exactly. It becomes our actions, our impact on the world. It's fascinating stuff.
You know, it makes me think of those times you walk into a room and you could just like feel the tension. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Thick, heavy.
Oh, absolutely. You can practically cut it with a knife.
Is that emotional energy we're picking up on?
Everything is energy.
Oh, hold on. Everything.
Yep. Even emotions. It brings in Einstein's EMC2.
Oh, wow.
That equation that basically proves even solid objects, like everything around us, it's just energy, just super condensed. So when we talk about fear being an energetic thing, they're not messing around. It's like literally woven into reality.
Whoa. Okay. I need a minute to like process that.
Yeah. It's not just about feelings, but actual energy in motion.
So we're talking about a real force, not just something abstract.
Exactly.
But okay, hold on. If we're talking about measuring emotions, how does that even work? We don't have like mood thermometers, do we?
Uh-huh. The preface points out how science uses these things called spectrums to measure energy.
Okay, like a ruler, but for energy.
So you've got hot and cold for temperature, light and dark, obviously for light. Even sound has loud and quiet, or sound waves, peaks and troughs, they can cancel each other out and boom, silence.
So kind of like with electricity, right? Positive and negative charges, they balance out and it's neutral.
Exactly. And that brings us to the heart of the book's argument. Emotional energy. It exists on a spectrum too.
Interesting.
And guess what sits at the opposite ends?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say love and fear.
You got it.
They feel like such opposite forces within us.
One draws us in, the other pushes us away. But here's where it gets really interesting. You can't experience both love and fear for the same specific aspect of something simultaneously.
Hold on, I need to wrap my head around that. Does this mean we can't have mixed feelings about things?
That's a great question. And the preface explains that what we're really feeling in those situations is a bunch of different feelings towards different things about that person. Like, maybe we're drawn to their sense of humor, for example, but a little wary of their temper. So we're not actually feeling both love and fear toward the same thing at the same time.
Ah, okay, so it's more nuanced than just two opposite emotions happening at once. It's like we're responding to all these different aspects of person or a situation. And that creates that, you know, the mixed feelings, that push and pull.
Your overall opinion is like an average of all those emotional responses.
That's actually really helpful. I'm thinking about someone right now, and I can totally see how different aspects of their personality trigger different reactions in me. Interesting.
So the preface argues that emotional energy also has a zero point.
Okay.
Not at one extreme, but right in the middle.
Wait, so what does that even mean?
What's the zero point on an emotional energy spectrum? It's apathy and ignorance.
Whoa.
It's a fascinating idea, right?
Yeah.
The preface calls them the neutral zero point, where you neither love nor fear something because you either don't care about it or are completely unaware of it. It's like the emotional energy is turned off.
So it's not just about feeling strongly one way or the other. There's this whole range of emotional intensity. Mm. This is already making me think differently about how I experience the world.
And that's just the beginning. The introduction actually touches on this briefly, hinting at how this emotional energy spectrum plays out in everything from our personal relationships to global conflicts. It's all connected.
Wow, that's a lot to process. And we haven't even gotten to chapter one yet. Huh. I'm sensing a theme of interconnectedness emerging here. Is that something we'll see more of as we delve deeper into the book?
Absolutely. This idea of everything being connected from our inner world to the outer world is woven throughout Unraveling the Fabric of Fear. And in the next chapter, Living in the Now, the book dives into our early development and how our caregivers shape our relationship with fear and curiosity.
Reminds me of how babies are naturally curious and fearless. They haven't yet learned to be afraid of the unknown.
Exactly. And the book encourages us to tap into that innate curiosity to approach life with a beginner's mind. And this is where the book's format gets really interesting. It's actually an open collaboration on Google Docs by a group called Cathartic Curiosity.
Oh, that's right. They've got a website. It's catharticcuriosity.com.
Yeah. And they encourage people to not just read it, but to actually contribute their own ideas and insights.
Which is really cool. It turns it into this like interactive exploration of fear, which seems fitting when you consider how much as fear is shaped by, you know, the way we interact with other people.
But we'll get into that more in the next chapter. For now, I think it's important to let these ideas from the preface sink in.
Okay, I'm really curious. How does the preface connect this love-fear spectrum to the way we act?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. Mm-hmm. It suggests that when we act out of fear, we create more fear.
Oh, okay.
So it perpetuates a cycle of negativity. While fear can be powerful, it's usually based on not understanding something. Ignorance, whether it's intentional or not, can be a huge roadblock when it comes to overcoming fear.
Makes sense, yeah. Fear the unknown, all that.
We see it all the time throughout history, how not knowing can lead to conflict and all these problems.
What's the antidote? Where does love come in?
The preface suggests a pretty radical idea.
Oh.
Love, when understood properly, can actually conquer all.
Okay, now I really need to hear more. This is getting good.
Yeah, well, it doesn't just throw out this idea without any context.
Okay, good.
It connects it to the emotional energy spectrum, remember?
Oh, right, right.
And the preface actually gives us this really helpful table that shows all the different ways we describe the love-fear spectrum.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of force, attention, concern, even just mannerisms. It's like a cheat sheet for understanding human behavior. The preface points out how our language often reflects this whole love versus fear spectrum.
Hmm. So what we say actually reveals something about our energy.
In a way, yeah. Think about words like attract, pull, curious, compassionate, creative. Those have a certain energy to them, right?
Yeah, very positive, open.
Then you've got words like repel, push, fearful, frustrated, destructive. Very different vibe.
Definitely more negative, closed off.
The preface talks about how the English language can sometimes like obscure this idea of emotional polarity. It lists creative as an expression of love.
Yes.
And destructive as an expression of fear.
Well, the author describes, you know, struggling to find a true opposite for the word creative.
Okay.
Most of the sources offered uncreative as the antonym.
Right.
But the author felt that wasn't strong enough. They felt the true opposite of creative was destructive.
I see what you mean. Uncreative implies a lack of something.
Yeah.
While destructive suggests an active force working against creation.
Precisely. The author even consulted ChatGPT about this.
Mm.
And even the AI initially struggled to identify destructive as the opposite of creative.
It seems like we often get stuck thinking in binaries, something or nothing,
right,
rather than embracing the full spectrum of possibilities, including those dynamic opposing forces.
That's a great observation.
And if we don't have the words to accurately understand these forces, it makes it harder to actually work with them in our lives.
Makes you think about the power of language, how it shapes our whole perception of the world.
And how we might be limiting ourselves without even realizing it.
It's a lot to take in, huh?
It is. That's what makes this preface so thought-provoking.
It's like it's asking us to question our assumptions.
Not just about love and fear, but about how we use language to understand these really fundamental concepts.
So the preface is suggesting that love is the key to overcoming fear.
That's the idea.
If fear is the root of negativity, then love is the, like,
yep,
the answer.
The preface proposes that love, in its purest form, is this powerful force that can counteract fear and all the negativity that comes with it.
Okay, but we're not just talking about romantic love, right?
No, not at all. It's a much broader sense of love.
Okay.
It includes understanding, acceptance,
mm-hmm,
a willingness to connect with other people,
yeah,
even those we see as different from us.
Okay, that's starting to make a bit more sense.
Yeah. The preface keeps hammering this point about becoming more aware of the energy we're putting out there.
Like, okay, I get it. Choose love over fear.
Hmm.
Sounds great, but how?
Yeah.
Like actually doing that in everyday life, that's got to be tough.
It's not always easy, no. But it does suggest that understanding the nature of these energies, you know, recognizing how they influence our actions,
mm-hmm,
that's the first step towards making more conscious choices.
So becoming more aware.
Exactly.
So like, instead of reacting to something with fear,
yeah,
or anger or defensiveness,
mm-hmm,
we pause.
Yeah.
We notice that fear.
Yes.
And then we try to approach it with curiosity, understanding, maybe even compassion.
Exactly.
I'll admit that sounds pretty idealistic, especially in the heat of the moment.
It definitely takes practice, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But the preface really emphasizes that even small changes,
okay,
little shifts in perspective, they can have a huge impact.
Oh, interesting.
It's not about like instantly becoming a saint or never feeling fear again.
Right. Right.
It's more about recognizing the power we have to choose how we respond to those emotions.
Even if it's hard.
Right. And the more we do that, the easier it gets.
Like a muscle, you got to train it.
Exactly. And here's the really cool part. It says, this isn't just about us growing as individuals.
It's bigger than that.
Way bigger. It's about like contributing to a collective shift in consciousness.
Whoa. Okay. What does that even mean?
Imagine if more and more people started operating from love, from understanding, instead of all that fear and judgment.
Man, the world would be so different.
Right. It's like a ripple effect. If we can change our own energy, maybe, just maybe, we can inspire others to do the same.
Okay, that's a really hopeful thought. I like that.
And that's kind of the beauty of all this, right? Exploring these big ideas. It's not about finding all the answers right away.
It's about, like, opening our minds a bit.
Yeah. Expanding our awareness, understanding what it means to be human a little bit better. It's a journey.
It is. This is all starting to make so much sense. But I'm also feeling a little overwhelmed. It's a lot to take in.
I know. It's a lot to process. But remember, this is a journey, not a destination. The book is really a guidebook for this journey of self-discovery and transformation.
And it's a journey that we can take together. I'm really grateful that you're sharing your insights and helping me to understand these concepts more deeply.
I'm enjoying this conversation, too. It's helping me to connect the dots and see the bigger picture. And I think that's one of the things that makes unraveling the fabric of fear so compelling. It's not just about understanding fear. It's about understanding ourselves and our place in the world.
I'm starting to see how this could be a really powerful tool for personal growth. But does the preface give any like real-world examples of how this works? Because it's still feeling a bit abstract to me.
It doesn't really go into specific case studies, but it draws on some really fascinating spiritual and religious traditions.
Oh, really?
To support this idea of love and fear as like the fundamental forces that shape human behavior.
So it's not just this preface's unique perspective. These are ideas that have been around for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of traditions does it mention?
Well, it references the Bible.
Oh, okay.
Specifically, 1 John 4.18.
What does that say?
It says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
So even in Christianity, there's this idea that fear and love are opposing forces, and that love is the more powerful of the two.
It's pretty straightforward about how those two forces can't really coexist.
What other traditions are there?
It also brings up the Buddhist concept of yin and yang.
Oh, I've heard of that.
You know, the interconnectedness of seemingly opposite forces.
Right, right.
Emphasizing balance and harmony.
Yeah.
The preface suggests that fear and love are similar,
okay,
in that they're both powerful energies, but it's love that brings true balance and harmony
within ourselves.
Yes, and in our interactions with others.
That's interesting. So instead of seeing love and fear as good versus bad, we're looking at them as two sides of the same coin.
Right.
They each have their own purpose.
Yeah.
Makes me think of that Buddhist idea of, what is it, metta? Loving kindness, right?
Yeah, the preface mentions that.
How those monks used that practice to get over their fear of spirits in the forest.
That's a powerful example of how focusing on love and compassion can basically neutralize fear and create more harmony.
Instead of letting fear control us, we can choose to respond with understanding and empathy.
Exactly. And this whole idea of duality, you know, opposing forces defining each other. It's not just some Eastern philosophy thing either.
Oh, really?
The preface brings up this text called The Law of One. It's a New Age thing, but it talks about how important polarity is in consciousness.
The Law of One, huh? Never heard of it. What's the connection to love and fear?
Well, it basically says that, like, a battery needs a positive and a negative pole to make electricity.
Okay.
Consciousness is kind of the same. It needs that push and pull to create action, to experience things. Without it, there's no charge, no movement, no growth.
So love and fear, they're like the two poles of our consciousness.
Yeah.
Giving us that energy to make choices, take action.
That's one way to look at it, yeah.
Any other traditions?
It briefly mentions Hinduism and the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay.
Which describes these three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance.
Hmm. Interesting.
The preface links those to the emotional spectrum, too.
How so?
Goodness aligns with love. Passion is that mix of love and fear.
Okay.
And ignorance aligns with fear.
So even ancient Hindu philosophy recognizes love, fear, and ignorance as forces that influence how we act. So the more we understand ourselves, each other, the world around us, less room for fear to take over.
Now you're getting it. The preface leaves us with this sense of hope. It's like, sure, fear exists, but it doesn't have to be the boss.
I like that.
Yeah.
So knowledge is power in this case.
In a way, yeah. The more we know, the more we can choose love over fear. It's a powerful message, isn't it?
It is. And it makes you think. It makes you wonder if, like, the more we understand something, the less we fear it. Is that what they're getting at? Is there, like, one thing you really want our listener to walk away thinking about?
You know, there's this thought the preface sparked for me. It doesn't actually say it outright, but...
Ooh, I like where this is going.
Remember how we were talking about apathy and ignorance being the 0 points on that love-fear spectrum?
Yeah, neutral, no energy.
What if, and this is a big what if simply learning something, becoming aware of something, it actually shifts us off of neutral.
Onto the spectrum. Like, yeah. Knowledge itself has energy.
Exactly. Is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? I don't know. But it's something to think about, right?
It is. It's a lot to chew on. What stood out to you most from this discussion?
I think what really struck me was how the preface connects these seemingly different ideas like physics and emotions.
Yeah.
It's really cool how they use scientific principles like energy transformation and polarity to explain human behavior.
I totally agree. And for me, the idea of shifting from competition to cooperation was really powerful. I think that has the potential to change not just our individual lives, but society as a whole. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. We'll be back next time to explore even more of unraveling the fabric of fear. So until then, keep those brains buzzing.